Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Welcome to NBA Today, presented by ESPN Bet.
The Knicks, they eked one out thanks to a missed call. So should there be recourse for the referees? Richard Jefferson, he has some thoughts. Plus, can Joel Embiid return soon enough to help the 76ers avoid the play-in tournament? We have the very latest. And it was 8 years ago today that Steph Curry shut down the NBA world with this shot. But it was also iconic for another reason. We're going to tell you what that is. NBA Today starts right now. The era of sleeved jerseys, that was an interesting one. Welcome to NBA Today, presented by ESPN Bet.
I won a championship in
you
one.
You did want a championship in one of those.
I'm glad we never have to do it again.
Joined by Richard Jefferson, always making his presence known. The Hall of Famer, Becky Hammon, is here. Our senior insider, Adrian Wojnarowski. Our senior writer, Zach Lowe. The New York Knicks last night, Madison Square Garden. It was chaos. Check out the back page here of the New York Post. Steal of fortune. The Knicks, they were the beneficiaries last night of that fortune. So let's get right to the highlight here in this one. Remember, the Knicks still without OG Anunoby and Julius Randle. So we're going to go ahead to 3 minutes left in the fourth quarter here, Richard. The game tied at 106. Off a Cade Cunningham miss. Jalen Brunson, full head of steam, gets the layup to go.
Yo, and look, he even he does a little dance. That D-cell step that everyone talks about, so hard to guard, all your momentum. Brunson as good a change of direction as anybody.
Jalen Brunson, once again, gets that one to go. This got to be a pretty good game down the stretch here. But then Cade Cunningham drives, kicks it out to Asar Thompson in the corner. Thompson shooting 15% from three this season, but got it when he needed it.
Yeah, you could say that. But that's it. Grimes has an opportunity to be the hero.
Revenge game.
Yeah, in the garden. And then what happens?
Well, this is sort of the moment of truth here. Jalen Brunson can't quite get this one to go. There's a scramble for the ball here. The Pistons somehow save it. But then watch this here. Dante DiVincenzo, he has the ball back. No. Okay, now the Pistons have it. Dante DiVincenzo then dives for the ball, knocks down Thompson. That would be the no call. But right here, Brunson gets the ball. Josh Hart gets the and one. There was no foul called on DiVincenzo diving into Thompson's legs here.
The referee didn't have a great angle. He didn't have a great angle. He didn't have a good angle.
Monty Williams in disbelief over that. The Knicks get the win 113-111. Brunson 35 points, 12 assists. Monty Williams, none too thrilled about that known call.
Where's the New York media now?
The absolute worst call of the season. No call. And enough's enough. We've done it the right way. We've called the league. We've sent in clips. We're sick of hearing the same stuff over and over again. We had a chance to win the game, and the guy dove into Asar's legs, and there was a no call. That's an abomination. You cannot miss that in an NBA game. Period.
All right, so crew chief James Williams had this to say in the pool report on this game. Quote, we determined that Thompson gets to the ball first and then was deprived of the opportunity to gain possession of the ball. Therefore, a loose ball foul should have been called. It should have been whistled on New York's Dante DiVincenzo. So, Richard, is there a problem here? Is there something that needs to be fixed?
What can be fixed? This is my thing. It's like something needs to be done. We always hear that very, very often, and it's like, well, what can be done here? There's a level of human error, and we know that the referees get graded, and then they get upgraded based off their playoff games and the opportunities, and the best officials will get the biggest, best games, and that's all there can be done. Every single time a coach comes up here and yes, we get it. It's been going on since Pat Riley was complaining about the officials and Greg Popovich, and over the history of the game, this is a part of it. But to me, when it's like something needs to be done, it's like, well, Monty, you are one of the more intelligent men in all of the game. Tell us what needs to be done. And the last thing I'll say about this, when a player makes a mistake, In a game, a coach will defend his players and say, hey, look, you know what? That's not the reason why we lost the game. We had plenty of opportunities. Well, if you watch the rest of this game, as me and my kids were, they didn't box out twice. Two different times, they didn't box out. His team did not box out, and they never got the opportunity to get the ball again. So whether it was coach or his players that weren't able to move on, there were more missed opportunities. Watch this. Okay, so you made a mistake. The referees made a mistake. Let's see your box out situation. Oh, you didn't box out. You fouled again. Okay, you had to foul. Then you don't box out again. So there were multiple mistakes that were made by them. Yes, the foul call, that was awful. That was it. I 100% agree with Monty. But express to us, one, what needs to be done, and two, hey, Monty, your team had other opportunities after that to secure the ball and still couldn't get it done.
First of all, deprived of the opportunity to gain possession of the ball. Congratulations to all the crisis PR officials who stretched language. How about speared in the abdomen? How about we just go with that? Look, I'm just going to be nice. Number one, how about we just don't find Monty Williams? He's right. How about we don't find him? Number two, can you imagine if the Pistons were 5-52 instead of 8-49 and staring at the possibility of being a 9-win team? They should be better than that now. This would be a much bigger deal. Look, it was a horrible call. We all know it was a horrible call. The NBA admitted it was a horrible call. The Knicks were on the other side of this a month, 2 weeks ago
in Houston. The outcome of that game.
So karma is a cat, or it's Dante DiVincenzo just diving into people and not getting called for it. And here we are. There's nothing to do.
Karma was the guy on the Chiefs.
No,
I don't know. You can't challenge no calls, and if you could, it'd be a Pandora's box. Stuff happens. Cade Cunningham played well, though.
Right, and part of why, and Becky knows this, part of why Monty reacts that way is he's sending a message to his team that I'm fighting for you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This is a team that has been discouraged this season with the kind of year they've had, the kind of losing that's taken place there, historic losing. And they've got to know their coach has their back and is fighting for them. The message to me was as much to his locker room, to their fans, to their organization, as it was to the officials in the league office.
Yeah, and I think at the end of the day, we're coaches. We're always going to complain about the officials, right? It's never going to be good enough. But the human error aspect is real. Nobody likes making mistakes. They're not doing it on purpose. But what gets me is the no call to the verticality call and one. I'm like,
yes.
So you don't call the tackle, and then you call, I thought, which was
a
pretty good, verticality. Like, and that one you call.
Right.
But at the end of the day, we all learned in fifth grade, box out the shooter, to your point.
Thank you.
Box out the shooter.
Twice.
And they didn't do that.
And they just didn't do that. And the Knicks did. I do want to get to some good things that the New York Knicks did do last night for much of the game. And Jalen Brunson specifically, right, because he leads the NBA in scoring for the month, over 32 points per game. That's tied with his former teammate Luka Doncic for the most in February and is on pace to be the best scoring month in Brunson's career. So on this show, we reserve the right to change our opinions. We reserve the right to get more facts, to gather more information, and then to have the opportunity to decide whether or not we want to stick with our opinion. And the last time, Becky Hammon, that you were on our show, and we were talking about the New York Knicks, you said pretty emphatically, right, that Jalen Brunson is not a 1A. Do you still believe that?
First of all, we were talking in a championship culture.
Absolutely.
Okay? So everybody, you know, there's nothing more attractive than a bunch of guys with panties, like, up there. Calm down.
All right. Okay.
Calm down. He is a tremendous player.
Okay.
I love watching him play.
Yes.
I love watching the smaller guys play because they defy odds. Things that they're doing out there they shouldn't be doing. And Jalen is a perfect example. At the end of the day, they're like, oh, Allen Iverson, Steve Nash. I'm like, MVPs, actually. MVPs of the league. They didn't win a championship. So, yes, he is your 1A. And all I was saying is that I don't think you win a championship. It's not that he's not amazing. He's amazing. So calm down, New York.
I mean, I texted Becky that night and said, don't let anyone make you apologize for this. The Knicks agree with you. That's why the Knicks. But that's not a slight on Jalen Brunson.
No, not at all.
He has transformed that organization.
Yep.
He is one of the biggest free agent signings of the past decade in the NBA. But the reason that the Knicks are hoarding draft picks and assets that they want to, if he becomes available, get a first, second team, all NBA level player. You win with that Jokic, Giannis, LeBron James. And if we were doing a draft of available players, would Jalen Brunson be in the first five, the first 10, the first 15, maybe? But championships are won. You have to have one of those guys. That doesn't diminish what Brunson has meant, what he has done in his career. He is one of the great success stories in this league from a second-round pick.
Look, I don't think any of these things are absolute, right? Like, he's listed as 6'2". I don't even think he's as tall as 6'2". We've seen other small guys win. Isaiah Thomas is another famous example. I think Chris Paul could have won championships and may still win championships. Who knows? In different contexts. It depends what the rest of your team is like. Do you have, like, a co-1A if you're the 14th best player in the league? Is the 15th best guy on your team? How does he fit? And right now, look, the Knicks want a better player than Jalen Brunson. We know that, right? You just said that. I think the Knicks right now, if they're healthy, this Knicks team currently without that player but with Jalen Brunson is the biggest threat to the Boston Celtics in the Eastern Conference, as is. I don't think they'd beat them, and I think they would like another star. So I think nothing is quite absolute. Would you like Jalen Brunson to be taller? Everyone wishes they were a little bit taller.
Oh, a little bit taller, a baller. That was kind of Becky's main point. But what Jalen Brunson has done as well is turn the New York Knicks into an organization that people want to play for, that free agents around the league look at and say, okay, well, what about New York? But the reality is they've also lost five of their last seven games. Is help on the way, Woj, with Julius Randle and OG Anunoby?
Well, let's start with OG Anunoby. It'll be 3 weeks from that procedure he had on his elbow the day of the trade deadline earlier in February. He's expected to start to get back on the court perhaps later this week. And start to be able to do some basketball activities again. And then from there, it's when he feels comfortable. Is that 10 days? Is that 2 weeks? But I'm told there's not been any setbacks. There's not been anything in his rehab that has slowed this down. Julius Randle, a little more complicated with that right shoulder. He is somebody who is trying to do everything he can to not have a surgical procedure on that right shoulder. If you'll remember last season, you know, there were certainly some medical people who told him that he might want to have on that ankle a surgery before the end of the season. He wouldn't do it. He did it in the offseason. He is determined to try to come back and play through this, but I still think that is a fluid situation. Yep. But that's always been his default, is to play through some pain and deal with it in the offseason.
As excellent as Jalen Brunson has been, in order for the Knicks to have real success this postseason, they need to get those guys back. Woj, thank you for that. All right, still to come on NBA Today. Richard Jefferson.
What?
You remember where you were when this shot happened?
No.
Absolutely. Really?
Not.
I remember
playing a game.
The couch that I was sitting on watching the shot. I mean, does the Curry magic, is that enough magic to make a late season playoff push this year? Plus, could we see an early sighting of playoff Jimmy? Hear why he thinks it doesn't matter who the Miami Heat match up against. And the Celtics, they are rolling into the final stretch of the season. Is the title Boston's to lose? NBA Today, we'll be right back.
NBA Today is presented by ESPN Bet, the official sports book of ESPN.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code Parlay and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code Parlay. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
All right, let's go coast to coast, brought to you by healthcare.gov. And we're going to start in Indianapolis, the Raptors at the Pacers. Toronto coach Darko Rajakovic promised the team a pizza party if they won three straight games. Well, it is finally time to collect, thanks to Scotty Barnes, 21 points, 12 rebounds, 12 assists, 5 blocks. Zach, what's your favorite pizza topping, and can the Raptors catch Atlanta for the 10th seed?
Black olives, and probably not because they're too far behind. He already played pizza party for a 3-game winning streak. What's better than that? You got to save that for like a 6-game winning streak.
They're not getting that far. They're not getting that far.
On to Memphis, Nets at Grizzlies, Gigi Jackson, Ben Simmons threw down this dunk. That's the good. The bad is it was his only basket. He went 1 for 13. Richard, how many pump fakes is too many pump fakes?
Well, if you're 1 for 13, you're probably going to keep pumping. No. That looked like old Kobe. That looked like old Kobe.
That looked like a paint can, sir.
But how about the discipline by those Nets?
They stayed down. All right, let's wrap up in Sacramento, the Heat at the Kings. The Heat were down many, many players, but Jimmy Butler, he hosted a little watch party.
Let's go, Heat. I, the Heat.
Yeah. I the Heat, I of the Tiger, Jaime Jaquez nails the three there, closing up the opening minutes, rather, of the third quarter.
What's going on with your Sacramento Kings, Malika?
They're very, very confusing right
Kings.
Now.
Pangs.
Pangs.
Come on, go work him. Jaime Jaquez.
Jimmy
with
Butler.
The left.
Suspended and loving it from home.
Not letting a rookie cook you, Sacramento. Y'all ready for the postseason? Come on
so
now.
So in the fourth quarter, guys, the Heat were up by as many as 20 points here. Bam Adebayo going to work. Zach, you're all aboard the Bam wagon.
I'm driving the Bam wagon. All he does is win. Just makes winning play after winning play.
But still, somehow, Becky, the Sacramento Kings, they got back into this one down the stretch. Nice pass there. Red Velvet turns, gets it to go.
Well, you get them out in transition. They become a very fast team with De'Aaron Fox being the head of that snake.
Yeah.
Blow so many leads. Sometimes slow down. Yeah. Sometimes slow down.
Well, the Miami Heat, as Jimmy Butler continues to love when
Hit him with it.
He cooked everybody.
Every
defender they threw at him, Jaime Jaquez Jr. cooked.
Look out below. Martin throwing it down.
Sacramento, I don't believe you.
They get the win despite giving up that huge lead. And they're on a roll, baby. It wins in 8 of their last 10 games, including a pair of victories over the Kings. Wins at Milwaukee, New Orleans during that stretch. But, guys, Jimmy Butler, he called this over the weekend. Here's what he said after the win over New Orleans.
I think our team is so ready for anything that anybody's thrown at us. We're so together. We're playing some incredible basketball. I don't think it matters who we go up against right now. It's that time of the year.
The Heat are starting to hit their stride. 25 games remaining. Is Jimmy Butler right?
Never doubt the Heat. Never, ever doubt the Heat. They're always lurking. They're always lurking. Now they're doing more than lurking. They have the second easiest schedule in the NBA left. We could wake up at the end of the season. They could be the fourth seed. And you just look up and down the standings. Knicks beat them in the playoffs. Bucks beat them in the playoffs. Boston beat them in the playoffs. Cleveland hasn't won a playoff series. They are not scared of anybody. And as we watch Jaime Jaquez and Caleb Martin cook the Kings, it is interesting to think about. They didn't get Damian Lillard, and there was a lot of panic about, oh my God, they missed the boat on Damian Lillard. What is this team going to do? They weren't panicking. They wanted Damian Lillard at a certain cost. Portland didn't meet their cost. They said, you know what? We like our team. We like this rookie. We like our players. And I don't think they feel much regret these days about it.
Well, when you look at those two teams, I don't know if we can pop the standings back up. Philly is trending downwards. Right? Knicks trending downward because of injuries.
Orlando trending up.
Yeah, everyone calm down. So when you look at the Heat and where their standings are, they're obviously they have a bunch of guys injured, but they know. This is a team that has been to 2 NBA finals in the last 5 seasons. Let's make no mistake. They have one of the great coaches. They have one of the great – they are doing everything right. So when I look at them and I see that their two teams above them are dealing with injuries, we're not sure of Randall. We're not sure of Embiid. They're trending this way. Miami Heat, they have one of the easiest schedules. They're getting healthy. They're trending upward. To your point, they can get up there in that standing, and they don't fear anyone. I guarantee you there are a lot of teams that will be positioning themselves to not play them.
It's called a program. They got a program down there, and it sustains you.
Is that a euphemism for Heat culture?
It can be. I just think it's because when I look at the Miami Heat, the amount of success they've had, they have buy-in with their coach.
Yep.
Right? You need an organization that has buy-in with their coach, because when the crap hits the fan, and it will, you know, injuries, whatever it might be, distractions. But your system will help you withstand that. And I think that's something that I really admire about the Miami Heat. I got to think, you know, Coach Spo's a top five coach. He's got to be in the conversation. And so when you have him at the helm, and then you got guys that are committed to winning, like a Bam. What did you say? The Bam train? What was
Bam
it?
Bam wagon. Driving Bam. The Bam wagon. Hop on. We got plenty of room.
I'm on it. I think he's having a spectacular year. Yeah. He's a separation factor, and he's a guy that impacts both ends of the floor, which man in the middle like that, you got to give him some love.
He's averaging career highs in points, in rebounds. And when you talk about point centers, and I know we talk about this a lot with Jokic, we talk about it a lot with Sabonis. I feel like we need to put Bam a little bit more firmly into that conversation.
Yeah, no, I think Bam, he does pass the ball extremely well. Obviously, when you're comparing him to Jokic.
Yeah, there's a different offense.
No, but Bam, it was kind of what you would say it was a power forward if you would have gone 15 years ago. Like, very versatile, can do all the things. And now you see him in the center spot,
yep.
And he defensively, he can beat you just by his plays defensively.
Right. Yeah. So I think, I mean, the Miami Heat, you mentioned their strength of schedule. They're trending in the direction of finishing. They could finish fourth. Mm-hmm. They could finish fifth.
So they could also finish eighth. Like, you never know.
They finish eighth. Who are they staring at in that one spot?
Oh, boy.
Oof, goodness.
I think the Boston Celtics should be rooting for anything but seeing the Miami.
I think they're closer to finishing on the upswing than they are all the way
down. I disagree, though.
Eight is play-in.
Sure.
I agree with you on Miami's likely finish. I just think, like, don't count out Indiana or Orlando. But I actually would soft disagree with you. I remember when Milwaukee, after being dispatched by the Heat, drew them again the next year and actually won their last game of the season specifically not to avoid the Heat. I think there's something to be said for, you know what, if we're the number one seed, let's go get them. Let's go not be afraid of them.
I'm afraid.
Okay.
I'm afraid of them.
The table is a little bit.
If you're going to win the title, you're going to have to beat teams like that.
Take the hardest path. Do it, and leave no questions.
I don't believe that. When Golden State was down 3-1 against the Thunder, we were rooting for the Thunder. Make no mistake. We were rooting for OKC.
You still came back from
down
3-1.
We didn't want that.
Coming up next on NBA Today, in a West where the standings are shaking up literally every single night, will the Warriors or the Lakers or neither rise to win a playoff series? And Adrian Wojnarowski is standing by with the latest developments on Joel Embiid's knee injury and if we can expect him to return to action this season. Plus, I'm thinking of some duos, right? Jordan and Pippen, Shaq and Kobe, Steph Curry and Mike Breen. Some of the most iconic duos ever. We have a little Mike Breen guessing game you're not going to want to miss. NBA Today, we'll be right back.
Ten seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
You're watching NBA Today, presented by ESPN Bet.
I'm French, but I've got an African roots as well. My dad's from Africa, from Cameroon. You can't forget that. You can't forget like what happened to our ancestor.
From what we went through throughout the history of this war, I think it's great to celebrate how far we've come.
It's It's been 4 weeks now since Joel Embiid was injured against the Golden State Warriors and 3 weeks since the meniscus procedure that followed. The Sixers, they are 4-7 without their MVP in the lineup and have been slipping in the Eastern Conference standings. Our senior insider Adrian Wojnarowski is back with us now. Woj, are the Sixers still optimistic about getting Joel Embiid back this year?
And look, they still are optimistic that they can get him back. I think there's some hope, you know, that they can get him back on the court by sometime in late March, back starting to get into condition. And listen, the goal here isn't necessarily to try to bring him back and see how many regular season games you might be able to win with him. The goal is to get him as healthy as he can be for the postseason, hope they can hang in where they are, and then have as spry and mobile and conditioned of a Joel Embiid as they can for what would be either a play-in game, maybe as a seventh seed,
yep,
or at 5 or 6, you know, a nightmare first-round matchup for a team that gets home court advantage in the East, and all of a sudden here comes a healthy Joel Embiid with Buddy Hield, with Kyle Lowry, with the additions, but probably about a week away from him getting an update on a timeline with him. But I think there's still optimism in Philly that we will see Joel Embiid again this season.
Well, the playoffs, they start on April 20th, so time is not necessarily on the 76ers' side here. For the season, the Sixers are 26-8 with Embiid in the lineup, winning at a better clip than every team in the East, except to, of course, the Boston Celtics. But without the reigning MVP, Philly has gone 7-16, playing at a rate that would be the 13th seed in the Eastern Conference. So simply put, Zach, are the Sixers good enough to avoid the play-in without Joel Embiid while he continues his recovery?
They're good enough, particularly since they're now healthy around Joel Embiid. You know, Melton's back, other guys that were out, but Batum was hurt, he's back. But they really need to start playing better. That record, 7-16, that's not going to be good enough. If they play something like 500, they got a shot at it. But look, they're only 2 games up in the loss column on Indiana, who's 7th, and 1 game up on Miami. Miami and Orlando, who's right there with Indiana, have the 2 easiest schedules in the league. It could be a play-in thing for the Sixers. And by the way, if he is healthy and ready for the postseason, that's like 5 or 6 days of rest Joel Embiid doesn't get, if that's the difference between being out of the play-in and in the play-in. Mm.
I just think when you look at you're scheduled, right, as a coach, you look, okay, we feel good, but we can get this win. They can be beat by any team. And I think that's a very scary thought. They're going to have to come recollect, because you're right, that record and how they've been playing without him is not going to be good enough. But a healthy Embiid at the end of the day is scary.
There's Joel Embiid on the sidelines, adorable, with his son Arthur.
No, I agree with pretty much the panel from the standpoint of, hey, Joel Embiid, if he's healthy, he's that guy. My biggest concern for them is more of like, even on the 5-6 games that he will get back, he will be on a minutes restriction. It will be, okay, he can do this. Obviously, he's not going to play in back-to-back. There's going to be all of these regulations.
Right.
When the postseason comes, you're going to be playing 40 minutes, 42 minutes of the most intense basketball you will ever play. That's what the postseason is. So that's my biggest concern. It's not that can he be healthy for the playoffs. Will he be in a condition to dominate for 42 minutes?
Right. That's exactly it, RJ, is he can come back and play. But we know with this Sixers team is built to win with Joel Embiid playing at an MVP level. Mm. He did it last year. He was doing it this year. You can't just assume that he's going to get back to that level in such a short window of time after another knee procedure.
Right. Joel Embiid, he's out tonight facing the Boston Celtics. That's Philly's opponent on the schedule. The Celtics are currently on a season-high 8-game winning streak, and they are blowing teams out. Boston is winning on average by more than 18 points per game during the streak. So, since we have Coach Becky Hammon in the building, Becky, what impressed you most about Boston during this stretch, what they're doing?
Well, I love their defensive tenacity. So when we start looking at some of their clips, can we roll that tape? Yes. Oh, well, I'm not the tape.
There it is.
Here it is. All right. So here you have Derek White on the ball, right? So great defensive teams are great communicators. He goes from a pursuing thing with a big setting that screen, comes in, you see the small trying to clean it up. He's going to slip out here. Great communication by Drew Holiday. He switches out. But the scramble and the effort after the play may or may not break down is a separation factor for these Boston Celtics. And they really just have extraordinary individual defenders with Derek White. I think you could put Drew Holiday on a top five list for on-ball defenders all time. So when you have that kind of luxury, you can do a lot of fun things defensively. Yes. But let's run through this real quick. Let's have you be the ball. Okay, you're not the ball handler anymore.
I'm Derek moved. White. I got demoted.
I'm Derek White.
Yes.
Here comes the big setting the screen. So another thing the guards do well is they pursue. They don't get hung up on screen. So I'm going to get in here. I'm going to pursue. The big was right back there. We don't have another body, right? And then here comes Zach setting. You're going to be the small screener.
Oh, okay? Hit you with the back screen.
You're my Drew Holiday over there.
Oh, I wouldn't
you're
dare
my Drew
try
Holiday.
To be.
He slips out here. Go out here, Zach. Here comes the swing and the pursuit by Derek. Ah! The contest is definitely a separation.
Well, and it's you said it's the size and the length. Derek White has the size, even if that's Jaylen Brown, even if that's Jason Tatum.
Right.
The versatility across their backcourt kind of wing players is elite, and that's why they're able to switch as much. That's why they're able to do as much, and it makes your offense struggle to find those gaps.
Right. And we're seeing that the results of that for this Boston Celtics team.
I mean, they're fun to watch defensively. And like I said, not only are they intelligent, they're physical, they're long. They have multiple guys that take pride in it, right? You want guys to take pride in it. And at the end of the day, when that three ball's not going for them, they have a defense good enough that they can rely on to sustain them and keep them in games. And that's how you win playoffs, games, series, and championships.
When there's a real question of, oh, well, what's better, their offense or their defense, that's the kind of problem that the Boston Celtics are glad
good
to
problem.
Be having.
Good problem.
We've got
problem.
An excellent Wednesday doubleheader tomorrow with Tyrese Halliburton and the Pacers hosting Zion and the Pelicans at 7:30 Eastern. And then LeBron James and the Lakers square off against Kawhi and the Clippers. Coverage at Tips with NBA Countdown at 7 o'clock. Should I try it? Should I try it?
No, no.
Bang! Oh. Bang! Oh, what a shot by Curry! We know the call. We know I can't do it. We know the shot, the result. We relive one of the most iconic shots in history. Next.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Take a bite, Iguodala. They do have a timeout. Decide not to use it. Curry, way downtown. Bang! Bang! Oh, what a shot from Curry! The brilliant shooting of Stephen Curry continues. And he ties the NBA record with his 12th three-pointer of the game.
8 years ago today, man. Steph Curry, he hit one of the most iconic shots of the century to give the 2016 Warriors one of their 73 wins. I'm staring at Richard because we all know how that season ended. But you know it is a big game when Mike Breen is on the call, right? And you know it's an even bigger moment when you get that moment, the bang call from Mike Breen, the Hall of Fame broadcaster. I know everyone at home, they can close their eyes, they can hear that call, they can see it. So we thought that we would play a little game here. I'm not going to say that, but our producers are going to
I'll
show
do a
us
three,
the play.
3, 2, 1, bang.
Yep, there you go. I want you all to guess whether or not it got one or two bangs from Mike Breen on the call. You ready?
Yeah.
All right, first up, we're going to go back to 2012. This is Toronto.
Oh,
the game winner from Jeremy Lin. Peak of Lin sanity. But the question is, did it get one or did it get two? Which one are we going with? It got, okay, we're going with one double, two singles. Let's hear it, Director Kathy.
Lin puts it up. Bang! Jeremy Lin from downtown!
Just one.
Richard Jefferson.
Lynn Sanity just got one.
Oh, my
Richard
God.
Richard Jefferson
that was a
gets
moment.
It.
Yeah.
All right. Next up, we're going to go with the new Nick, new call. This was last season what we're going to go forward to now. The Knicks down by one. Remember Julius Randle momentarily. He loses the ball before regaining possession, and then he knocks down a three, game-winning three at the buzzer. What do you think? Mike Breen gave this one. All right, we're going with it. We're rolling it back in the same way. What do we think? Director Kathy, who is correct?
Randle on the drive, stripped by Butler. Randle gets it back. Randle puts up a three. Bang!
I remembered that
Come
one.
Come on, you have to know because it's New York, too.
Yeah,
too you got to give them
shot.
Double bangs. Yeah, it was an insane shot. You got to give the double at that point.
Kendrick Lamar was not impressed. Not happy.
All right, maybe one of the biggest calls in NBA history. Game six, this is the 2013 NBA Finals. Ray Allen keeps the Miami Heat season alive. Come on, we all remember this one. Corner three off of the offensive rebound from Chris Bosh. We know who ended up winning the series. What did Mike Breen say? I'll take a guess.
Well, go! Rebound Bosh. Back out to Allen. His three-pointer. Bang! Tie game with 5 seconds.
Just one!
Single bang on
that? I know. Yeah, I thought that
probably,
would be a double
It was probably too crazy. Like, that shot is so crazy. I'm surprised he was coherent at all.
He was able to say anything other than just, because that's what I would have said in that moment. All right, last up. Let's take it. This is back to the bubble. This is the overtime between the Clippers and the Mavs. This is game four, I believe. Luka Doncic hits the step back at the buzzer. You know the game by now. But what was the call? All right. Everyone says bang.
It's the bubble.
Doncic pulls up. Three-pointer. Bang! Bang! It's good. Doncic wins the game at the buzzer.
Man, y'all were way off on that one.
I feel like we've noted, like, the walk-off will get a double bang. The walk-off will get a double
it
bang.
It should get the double
bang. It should get the double
bang. There's only been five double bangs in the history of Mike Breen.
That would have been
in
useful history. Information to know before the game.
In the history of history.
Oh, man. Well, we'll see if we will get a double bang this Saturday on 8.
I'm so glad Coach Hammond's here.
In our NBA primetime matchup.
So inappropriate.
Nikola Jokic and the Nuggets squaring off against LeBron and the Lakers at 8:30 Eastern. Covered tips of NBA countdown at 8 o'clock.
I can't believe there's only been five double bangs.
There has only been five. Still to come on NBA Today, Zion Williamson. He plays in front of fans for the first time in Madison Square Garden as a Pelican. That's kind of hard to believe. What can we expect from the former number one overall pick? Find out next on NBA.
Is Stephen A going to be there?
Tonight on SportsCenter at 6 Eastern, new details on the timeline for the Bears' decision to trade or keep Justin Fields. Plus, which QB has the most to gain from the NFL Combine this week? And how the NBA is planning to cut down on missed calls as the playoff picture comes into focus. SportsCenter, 6 Eastern on ESPN.
NBA Today is presented by ESPN Bet, the official sportsbook of ESPN.
Tonight, for the first time since 2021, Zion Williamson will play in Madison Square Garden against the Knicks. The Pelicans, they've lost their last two. The Knicks, they beat the Pistons on that controversial ending that you're going to hear more about on SportsCenter. But Zion Williamson, when he came into the league, the last time that he played in Madison Square Garden, I know you have to cast your mind back a little bit, Zach. He had so much fun. It was so exciting. We kind of thought that time in and time out, year after year, we were going to see these showdowns in MSG, and that just hasn't been the case. Considering how much excitement he came into the league with, do you think he's so young. It feels like he has to still have enough time to fill that potential.
Absolutely. No one should close any book or any chapter on him yet. He's just got to stay healthy and he's got to stay in shape. But even this recent stretch, this is the best passing stretch of his career. Double figure assist the other day. They're leading all the way into point Zion. He's starting to look a little more like he's got that burst at the rim back. So I'm not writing him off at all, but he's got to stay in shape and healthy consistently.
I mean, that will be the tale of his career, how he handles those things. But the talent speaks for itself. When he plays, I mean, he is a unicorn to behold or something.
Talent.
I don't know what the word is, but I mean, yeah, he's a transcendent talent. Yeah. But I want to see those things because it speaks to the level of your competitiveness, how much you love it. Like, how serious are you where every decision that you make on and off the court is I am a pro and I want to be the best that I can possibly be.
I look at it as that it's all up to Zion. It doesn't matter closing a book. I don't whether we got a book open or closed, or it doesn't matter what we view him. If he doesn't do all the things that Becky talked about, then it doesn't matter what we think, what we believe. If he doesn't do those things, he won't be healthy on their court. If they're not healthy on the court, his team is going to struggle. It's very, very simple. So I wish for him. I root for him. But ultimately, only time will tell his level of professionalism that will allow for him to be successful.
He's played. Look, everyone got on him after the Vegas game in the in-season tournament where the Lakers just blew the doors off them, and he did not show up. He's been quietly outside the national radar playing very well for a Pelicans team that no one can quite figure them out, but they're pretty damn good whatever they are. They keep winning. They're right in that playoff picture. And look, he's physically, there just has never been anyone like him in the NBA. He's like a tank that can fly, and that just hasn't existed ever. And you just hope he can stay healthy. And if he is healthy and they're full throttle in the playoffs, they're a strange team, but they're also a strange team to play against. They're hard to game plan for.
Now, the one thing about when everyone got on him, I thought it was a little off, only because it was like his team still got there. His team and them, they still played well enough to be in that position. A lot of teams didn't make it there. A lot of teams got upset. So he gets there, and it's just like playing in your first playoff game, your first playoff series. Jason Tatum last year in his first playoff, or a couple years ago in his first NBA Finals. Sometimes, like, there's just a lot there. You're playing against the Lakers. You're playing against LeBron. It might be a little much, but then you looked at it, and you're like, hey, he doesn't look like he's in great conditioning. So that's something that he needs to improve on. But all of the, I don't want to say intense, like how they were scrutinized, I thought that was a little bit unwarranted.
Yeah.
Because they've continued to put together a pretty good season thus far. If he stays healthy, gets in elite shape, he is a matchup problem that there is no answer to because he's such a unique player. So their season really hinges on that.
Zach, you said point Zion. We first heard that under Van Gundy, obviously. Do you think that's his, is he a point guard now? Is that the best way that he's used?
He's whatever they need him to be. On some nights, he'll be the point guard or the point Zion. The good thing about point Zion is when you have him run pick and roll with Valanciunas or Nance, you're putting their two worst shooters right in the middle of the action. So spacing is a little better around it because you have their better shooters around them. But some nights it'll be like I watched them play the Kings maybe a month ago, and they just said Harrison Barnes can't guard him. Let's just put him in the post and let him play bully ball the whole game. So it's a little bit of everything as long as he's available and healthy and all that.
Zion back in the Garden tonight. That's going to be a fun one. I do want to take a look at some of the other action around the association tonight. It's time for Setting the Pick, brought to you by ESPN Bet, the official sports book of ESPN. Luka and Kyrie, they face off against the Donovan Mitchell-led Cavaliers. Both teams have won 7 of their last 10 games. Becky, who you got tonight?
I am going to take the Mavericks in this one. I don't think Kyrie has been back in Cleveland in a Dallas uniform. So I look for and they're coming off a loss.
Right.
So I think they'll be highly motivated going in there.
And they've been playing very well together. The return of Chris Paul. Well, sort of. Chris Paul returns to the lineup against the team who traded him this summer. Really, it's Draymond Green back in Washington. Jordan Poole facing his former team for the second time since being traded. Who you got in this one, Rich?
Man, this one's tough. I've been thinking about this all morning. I've been deliberating, going back and forth. It's tough.
Who'd you consult with? Some elders?
It is. I asked some people around the league. I talked to Woj a little bit to see, you know, just kind of what he felt. And you know, I'm going to go with – are you okay, Malika?
I'm great.
Okay, I'm going to stick with the Warriors on this one. Yeah, I'm going to go with the Warriors.
All right, that was a tough decision, going with the Warriors in that one. That's who we got. Who are you picking? Download the ESPN Bet app to get started. New customers receive $100 in bonus bets once they place their first sportsbook bet with ESPN Bet. So from Perk to the West standings, take a look at this. Seeds 5 through 8, separated by just a half game. The Lakers, the Warriors not far behind them in the 9-10 spots. So 5 through 10, rather, is separated by just 4 games. So, Zach, out of all of those teams out West, who are you picking as a team that could win a playoff series without home court advantage?
Well, and also 4 of them are tied in the loss column. Right. All 24 losses. Look, I'm going to put the Warriors and the Lakers down here because right now they're 9-10 and there's a decent gap still. So they'll play each other if things don't change in the play-in tournament. Of the other 4 teams, look, until we see the Suns' big 3 healthy for a longer period of time, particularly as we get to the end of the season, I'm going Dallas. I think Dallas has really found a little something lately after these trades. Luka is a monster. Nobody wants any part of him in the playoffs. So right now, as of today, Dallas.
I mean, it's hard to bet against Luka, right?
Yeah.
But I mean, I kind of want to say the Suns, but it's the same thing. It's the health, and I want to see them buy into the pass more. Share the ball more with each other. Y'all will get more. Give it up early. You'll get it back.
I'm gonna go. Suns are close.
Wizards?
Suns are close.
Wizards?
The Wizards. That was the two things I was trying to decide on.
In the West, the Wizards.
But, no, I think it's Dallas. I think when you've got two guards at that point of attack, I think Derek Lively, I think the bigs that they have, to me, they have kind of a three-headed big situation, very similar to the Clippers.
Yep.
They can play a variety of ways. They have different guys. They have continuity. So, look, Dallas is a scary team. Luka's right. playing at an MVP level statistically. So you get that guy into a playoff series, and it doesn't seem fun.
Every time, and you know, playing next to Kyrie Irving in the postseason, since he has come back from injury, he has looked excellent. This Mavs team has looked very, very scary.
Well, and Kyrie is just so special. People don't understand that this individual, what he's able to do on the court, there is no defense created for him. We're going to put a six-foot guy. We're going to put some length on him. He'll go to the post. He'll take you in pick and roll, transition, all of the things he can do, and that just complements Luka so well, very similar to how it complimented LeBron James.
Yeah, the Mavs, the Pelicans, they both feel like they're poised to be able to potentially do something at least a little bit interesting in the postseason. The Suns as well. The Lakers, the Warriors, they're still on the outside looking in at this point. The Warriors have a pretty easy remaining schedule here, but they have their work cut out for them. I don't think if you're the Timberwolves, if you're OKC, you want to see one of those battle-tested teams in a first-round series.
That's life in the West. You don't want to see anybody. Can we get someone from the East to come over and play in the West? Because you don't want to see anybody, whether it's Lakers. I'm sorry, but whether it's Lakers, Warriors who have been clicking and kind of have found an identity, I think even more so than the Lakers or some of the other teams we're talking about. Minnesota hasn't won a playoff series together. Oklahoma City hasn't won a playoff series together. Like, that stuff is hard. All these teams are good.
I'm going to say, you know, when you look at Golden State, there something's missing defensively, right? When they were really good, they played both ends of the floor. So when I look at a team being able to win in the playoffs on one of those lower seeds, I kind of like L.A. in there, too, because they'll play defense. They can play some defense, and that always gives you a chance in the playoffs.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, do you want to see LeBron or Steph? No.
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 No, the
you don't.
The experience is the thing, because what you learn in playoff experience is that it's about, okay, we're going to take away this one specific thing and then we're going to make this beat us. Or we can spot the weakness in their defense and we're going to attack that for seven games, and that's where we're going to define the advantage.
Right.
T. Lou, Spo, they're coaches that are great at this. There's players that are great at this. Once they find the weakness, they will expose it for the rest of the series. LeBron James, Steph Curry, their teams are as good of a team that you will ever find at that. So I think those top seeds, they don't want to see any of those bad boys down there. The West. And then you get into those middle rounds, 4 versus 5. That could be Clippers versus Suns.
Right.
You don't know who's going to win that.
Well, you got the guys that can just take over a game.
Yeah.
Steph can take over a game. LeBron can take over a game. Luka can take over a game. Like, and sometimes there's nothing you can do.
Well, look, here's the reality. This is life in the West. You are going to see, after the first round, two teams who came into the season, at least two teams, with championship-level expectations out after one round. That's life in the Western, whoever they are. That's what the expectations were.
The Western Conference, when you're looking at the Phoenix Suns, when you're looking at Los Angeles, when you're looking at the Warriors, you could see that then. The Clippers are going to be without Paul George once again tomorrow in their battle against Los Angeles, so we'll see what happens there, but it feels like we are posed for a very interesting final stretch, particularly in the Western Conference. Hey, enjoy tonight's game. Thanks for spending some of your afternoon with us, and we will see you tomorrow.
I'm rooting for Lakers-Clippers Conference Finals. No travel. No travel.